Chapter 14. I have to see Charlie. Sergeant Joe was not one for small talk. His time in jail, along with his physical deterioration, had brought him to believe in the first step of AA. Now it was Charlie's turn to listen. Joe struggled to recognize his too angry attitude and forced himself to spend a moment in silence to get in touch with some serenity. His phone rang, abruptly interrupting his meditation. In that moment, Joe came to the understanding that God was doing for him what he could not do for himself. 10 years ago, his daughter, Claire, had forced him into treatment. She had saved his life. Joe spent his entire military career trying to do just that, save people's lives. He was now faced with trying to do the same for his son-in-law. Charlie had a direct path to certain death. What could he possibly do or say to save him? Joe answered the phone. First he heard shortness of breath. Then came sobbing and broken speech, followed by a palpable emotional outburst. It was difficult to make out the words. Was it Claire? "Sweetie, where are you?" Joe asked. Pausing to catch her breath, Claire replied,
"At your house. On the front steps."
Her tears and disappointment carried through the phone in her words. The story she told could have been Joe's own confessional. He was reminded of his own bad behavior, faults, and shameful misgivings, and his hard life lessons with Claire's mother. As she spoke, he wondered if she realized who she was talking to. She was too upset. Joe was struck silent as he listened to his daughter's story that so closely resembled his own, a paralleled retelling of what he had done over the years. This was not his story, it was Charlie's story. This was the story of a wife of an addict, and the depth of her pain was heart-wrenching. Claire had saved his life, and it seemed to him that trying to comfort her right now with the simple "let go and let God" just somehow was not enough. Slogans, sayings, and any spoken word seemed too trite for the daughter he loved dearly. The daughter who had thrown a ladder down a deep, dark hole when he was in a pit of despair and surrender. His daughter had saved his life. He had thought that no one cared. His daughter had met him in his darkness and helped him face his addiction. How could he do anything less for her? "I will go see Charlie, yes. I will go talk to him, Claire. Listen, sweetie, we just have to take this one day at a time. I know it is super painful, and I know you want to fix this, but we are going to have to be patient and get through this day by day," Joe reassured Claire. To himself, all Joe could think about was how he wanted to kick Charlie's ass, the little prick. "I am not going to allow him to treat my daughter this way," Joe knew, both intellectually and in his heart. Charlie had a progressive disease. He also knew that kicking his ass would not help anything. "I need to calm down," Joe thought. "I need more patience. I need something, but God, I have no clue what it is." He needed to calm down before he talked to Charlie, or he would strangle him. He had so much rage. Joe pulled out the journal and flipped through entries. He read some of what both he and Skip had written. He stopped when he got to the trail for recovering addicts. As he read through Skippy's list and thought of the items he had tweaked and the ones he had created himself, Joe had an idea. We are warriors. We are all warriors. Skippy, Charlie, and I are all soldiers. I will go through this journal and write in an effort to touch Charlie's pride and honor. Joe read aloud what he would give to Charlie. "Those who know do not tell, for in the telling, another's acknowledgement of their higher power might go unseen. We are warriors in recovery. We must find for ourselves, in complete surrender, that power greater than ourselves. It is that power that whispers to us in our quiet moments, showing us the trail we must take as warriors in recovery. In the world of addiction, this is a trail of the warrior." A warrior lives sober and substance-free. A warrior chooses their spot and higher power. A warrior is grateful, seeing hope in total surrender. A warrior acknowledges evil and recognizes the enemy. A warrior in recovery forgives themselves and others. A warrior embraces living and is always ready for action. A warrior waits. A warrior wants and expects nothing. A warrior knows his surroundings and interacts with purpose. A warrior is ready for change, for better or worse. A warrior can heal with a touch or with words. A warrior has witnessed their vision. A warrior can never lay down their tools or knowledge of recovery until death. A warrior knows the name on their soul. In that moment, Joe knew what he could do. He would go by the jail and try to see Charlie. He would either get in to see Charlie or he would not. He could leave a journal for Charlie. He could give Charlie something to read and write in. Maybe Charlie would read the journal that Skippy and he had created. Just as Skippy had stimulated Joe's thoughts in recovery, Joe hoped that he could also stimulate Charlie to take action. Had Charlie's life become unmanageable enough? Without honest surrender, there was no way Charlie would hold on to his recovery. He had to start somewhere. He had to find and believe in a power greater than himself. Joe picked up the journal and headed to the jail. As he turned into the parking lot, he thought, "I need to add one last item to this journal. If pride and memory have a fight, pride always wins." With that thought, Joe began writing from his heart. He penned one more entry into that new, beloved journal. From the journal of Robert A., Skippy, and Joe. "Dear Charlie, as addicts in recovery, when our lives become unmanageable, we must seek a higher power. This is where we truly experience and gain our strength in recovery. Your higher power might be a tree or a dog, Rosie. It might be Jesus, or even God as you understand him. We simply start somewhere and connect on a day-by-day basis, and that is how our ability will grow. That higher power will begin to teach us what it means to be sober. From there, we tune in and listen each day as we journey through the steps of AA in fellowship with other recovering addicts. With that being said, it is obvious to me that your life has become unmanageable. My proposal to you is that you give thought to the idea that maybe a power greater than yourself can help restore you to sanity. If you can't understand this fully today, please just follow the trail of the warrior and the 12 steps of AA. As Joe turned the car into the jail parking lot, he felt a huge wave of determination rush over him. This was different than what he had ever faced in Vietnam. How would Charlie go about winning this battle? What would the outcome be? He could not let his daughter down. He just could not let Claire down. Even though he did not know what to do next for Charlie, he still felt the sting from Charlie's fist. He had to dig down deep. Look at Charlie as a person with an illness, a person in desperate need of recovery, and a person whose life was being wasted. Regardless of how he felt about Charlie's actions, he needed to see Charlie as someone with a disease that had progressed. Progressed to the point that the most important people in Joe's life were being affected. Joe's daughter and her child, Emma. Joe felt his anger bubbling to the surface again as he thought, "I am not putting up with that shit from that dumbass kid." Immediately he realized that there was no value whatsoever in his resentment, but damn, it sure felt good to mutter it to himself. That's all he was doing, muttering it to himself. He was not saying it out loud. "I will kill that bastard if he harms my daughter, and I will kill him twice if he hurts my granddaughter, Emma. I will protect them both," he continued, mumbling to himself. There is no valor in harming someone with a disease.
For a moment as Joe sat there in the parking lot, he flashed all the way back 10 years ago to the death of Skippy and to his journal. The journal of misshaped statements and confused writings. The journal that Joe had struggled through as he wrote and rewrote, thought, prayed, and struggled over in an attempt to keep himself sober and clean all these years. Deep emotions came over him as he thought maybe, just maybe, this is what it is all about. I will do my best to set aside my rules and demands on that little punk. I will try to just go in there and treat him with the respect a soldier deserves. Joe mumbled to himself, "Can you try not to be such an idiot, Charlie? You have a brand new baby." The last time I saw Charlie, a big argument ensued. He was drunk and acting crazy, and I just wanted to smash him. Claire told me not to. I left that night and went home thinking, "I am sorry your worthless dad is dead. He was not bringing you any value, though, not while he was using." Then I thanked God for the end of another day. I had another day sober. Joe knew almost immediately upon entering the jail that he would not be able to see Charlie. As he sat there in the lobby with the journal in his lap, he spent a moment in silence contemplating. What was he thinking? No one would give him access to see Charlie. What was he doing here, wasting his time? Still, there he sat. Determined to try anyway, Joe pushed the button and the matron asked, "Can I help you?" "Joe Hanks, I'm here to see Charlie Redden." "One moment, please, let me check. Are you family?" "I'm his father-in-law. He's married to my daughter, Claire." "The deputy told me to tell you that Charlie's in seclusion right now. He is in the padded detox cell," Joe said. "I told my daughter that I would see him. Is it possible that I could step inside?" "I will ask the deputy. Give me one moment, please." "The deputy says that is all you can do. Just step inside. Until he either comes down or stops acting so crazy. He is simply not safe. So you can see him through the observation glass, but that is all you can do." Joe's glance lingered on Charlie, and he heard the electronic door slide open and out came Deputy Jess Redden, Charlie's uncle. Jess and Joe knew each other. They were more contemporary than some of the young guys. Without thinking, Joe said, "I brought this journal for my son-in-law. Can you make certain he gets it?"
"Sure, I'll give it to him," answered Jess. "Joe, we only got him here because you filed the assault charge. That is the bench warrant they picked him up on with his dog." Joe said, "Jess, that was my tough love. I was trying to get Charlie to understand that his actions have consequences." Jess said,
"Joe, you look terrible."
Joe replied, "I ain't gonna lie, it's been hard. I had been watching my daughter's family fall apart. My granddaughter deserves a better life than this."
"Tell me about it," Jess said. "His father, my brother John, certainly wasted his life. I would sure like to see Charlie step up."
"We are all family, no doubt about that," Joe said. "I just wish we were all a recovering family."
"Yeah," Jess snapped. "I will make sure Charlie gets the journal."
With that, Jess abruptly turned and walked away. Taking out his phone, Joe called Claire and left her a message. Joe detailed his visit. "Claire, I thought I would give you a call back. I went to the jail and I saw Charlie. That is all I can say, really. Charlie's in a bad spot. He looks like he has been beaten. He may have some fractured bones. Jess showed me a picture of your car windshield. It is definitely a total wreck. There is nothing more that can be done for Charlie at this point. Charlie is still coming down. We're just going to have to wait a few more days, possibly weeks. We don't know when someone will fall off. Everyone has another relapse in them, even me. Thank God that for today, I am okay. Even though everyone has another relapse in them, not everyone has another recovery in them. We'll just have to see how Charlie comes out of this. We'll just have to keep trudging this road to recovery with him. Claire, you really need to go to an Al-Anon meeting. I'll watch Emma for you. Just go to a meeting."
This will take a while and will be a long process. By the way, when did you all get a dog? Jess mentioned something about a dog. They actually arrested Charlie with this dog in a gas station after Charlie ditched his car.